Performance Committee for the Orange County Development Board. I'd like to remind everyone that we are recording the meeting, so everyone's being recorded. And why don't we do a roll call?
Janelle Cranch?
Present.
Alariza Jazayeri?
Here.
John Luker?
Here.
Kay Kirschner?
Here.
Rob Claudio?
Here.
Barbara Mason?
Here.
Gary Matkin? Ernesto Madrona?
So at this point, we'll open the floor to public comments, and this will be the one time we'll open the meeting to public comments. So if you look at the agenda and there's something you'd like to comment on, this is the time to do it now. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public comments and move forward. So the first item on the agenda is an action item to approve the minutes from the October 12th meeting. Those meetings are in the packet.
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes from the October 12th meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions?
Janelle
and I wasn't there either.
I wasn't there either.
Okay, so.
Where were you?
I don't know.
Why weren't you?
We were at a separate meeting together.
Separate, medical. Any nays? No. Okay, motion passes. That moves us to item number two, which is an informational item, the WIOA Young Adult Program Overview.
Great. At our October meeting, there was a nice discussion about the youth program, and we thought it would be helpful provide a little bit more background and bring it back to you for your information. So I'll turn it over to Norman Albanes at this point to walk through the slide deck that's attached.
Good afternoon, everyone. So in front of you in the agenda is a little overview of the WIOA Youth / Young Adult Program that we run here. The first slide talks about WIOA in general and how it was signed into law on July 22nd, 2014. The first legislative reform of the public workforce system in 15 years. WIOA actually outlines a broader youth vision that supports an integrative service delivery system and gives a framework through which states and local areas can leverage other federal, state, local, and other philanthropic resources to support both in and out of school youth. And it also affirms the Department of Labor's commitment to providing high quality services for youth and young adults with career exploration, guidance, continued support, and educational attainment, opportunities for skills training, and in-demand industries. So on the next page, you'll see a side-by-side of what changed from WIA to WIOA. So in WIA, the targeted age range was 14 to 21. Only about 30% of the allocation was for out-of-school youth. There were only 10 program elements that had to be provided. There had to be a youth council, and low income was required for both in-school and out-of-school youth. And that changed in the new legislation. It expanded the age range from 14 to 24. Locally, we just serve 17 to 24. The allocation for out-of-school youth was bumped up to 75% from 30%. And then there's 14 program elements that we're going to go over on the next slide. The youth council is no longer required. Low income is required for in-school youth and only some out-of-school youth. And there was a bigger emphasis on work experience, so we have to expend at least 20% of our funds on work experience activities. So the 14 elements that I described are listed on the next page, and the ones that are highlighted in orange are the new ones, even though it looks like there was five new ones. In WIA, there used to be a separate element just for summer youth employment, but they consolidated that into the occupational skills training element, and so they added those five. So the new five ones are education offered concurrently with workforce preparation and training for a specific occupation, financial literacy, entrepreneurial skills training, services that provide labor market information, and post-secondary preparation and transition activities. On the next page is we call them regions, or the service areas that we are currently doing now for the providers for the young adult program. So you can see the map is color-coded, And all the service providers are there listed with which regions that they have to serve and how much funding they get for each of those regions. What's not on here is the actual in-school regions that we didn't put a separate map, but the city of La Habra takes care of North Orange County, which is basically from like La Habra all the way to about Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa areas. There's no current service provider that does in-school youth for South Orange County.
Are you looking for one?
Not currently, not right now. The next page is the annual performance goals, and this is through December 2017, and we'll go over it also in the performance dashboard and performance reports, but it gives us an overview of the goals that the service provider should be at and where they're currently at as of December. These numbers have increased over the next couple months, but as you can see, there's a little bit of some shortcomings for some of the regions. The next page is the funding availability for 18-19, and this goes on to the next item. And it's just,
Can you explain that this graphic a little bit more?
Yeah, sure.
So you're saying the shortcomings, where are they taking?
So the dots are where they should be at?
Should be, oh, yeah.
Correct.
Wow. What's going on?
So the new legislation, and the way I think that it's the direction it is, it targets the hardest to serve. So we should be serving those that are the really hardest to serve. And I think that and that the way that we outreach to youth has changed, that we've seen that they haven't been really walking in as much. And so we're trying to change our outreach methods and trying to really see how we can best do that. And we'll talk about that in a couple of other slides of what we've done to try to outreach to them better, because we're not seeing as many of them walk through the doors as we used to before.
And what's the analysis of that? Do you know?
We'll get to it. Okay. We'll get to it. All yeah. Right. Give me a couple slides.
But actually, I would just add that, you know, discussion of these performance metrics kind of mirror what we saw in the last meeting, and which sort of precipitated this conversation.
Right.
We'll get into what we can do
differently. Right. Right.
They're less the brick and mortar type.
I do. It kind of reminds me of how we're dealing with the homeless also. You know, you're trying to give them things and they really don't want them, you know?
Yeah, some of the things you want, yeah.
Yeah.
The next slide is funding availability for 18-19. And this just goes over the funding recommendations in the next item. So it's just a general overview of how much we're recommending for out-of-school youth, in-school youth, and total. And there are a couple more years after this program year. So one more year after that, and then another year after that, and we'll have to do another RFP.
Another what was that?
Another
RFP.
Yeah.
Oh. So
the next one, Kane, what we're talking about is that, so we worked with the County of Orange's CEO Communications Office to do a Facebook post for our program for 30 days, and so we boosted that post, so it's basically like an advertisement for $500. It targeted ages 17 to 24 in Orange County, and with that, 44,000 individuals viewed the post. About 1,800 actually clicked the link or the photo, and 300 interest forms were submitted. And so you can see the breakdown of where the majority of the interest was coming from, all of the forms that were coming from. We gave you a breakdown of each city.
So Norm, is the $500 cost coming directly out of the youth funds?
Yes. So our next steps on the next slide, we are going to look into some more enhanced social media. So we're going to try to do another social media outreach targeting those specific age range. Possibly establish a communication strategy, doing some sort of communication or social media consultant if possible. We were also chosen nationally to do what the Department of Labor is calling a youth cohort challenge. So there were about 85 applicants, and 8 were chosen, Orange County, or we were chosen as one of them, to see what it takes to engage and retain out-of-school youth. So the Department of Labor is giving us technical assistance and giving us webinars how to best do that through virtual cohort sessions for the next 6 weeks. So that'll hopefully help us with our outreach. And we also were chosen through the U.S. Department of Education for the Strengthening Education and Workforce Development in Justice-Involved Young Adults. And it's also going to be a similar method of virtual cohort sessions to see how we can better serve justice-involved young adults as well. Do you have any questions?
You know what, I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
Yeah.
Because we operate a youth employment opportunity program through EDD, and my youth staff, when I've met with them, have told me that they're facing a hard time. And our program is simply a mentorship program to keep the students engaged with their educational goals and hopefully continue their education and sometimes get them part-time employment. And they say that the youth that they're getting are just disengaged. They don't want to even continue with their school goals. They have limited school goals. They don't like the structure of the school and the way it is for them. It's not engaging. So they're facing kind of like an interesting dilemma as well, because our whole goal is to make sure that the youth are engaged and stay in school. Yeah. And they're coming to them saying, but I don't want to stay here, you know. So I've kind of tasked our youth to come up with, you know, solutions from them, you know, and have them give recommendations. But I suspect that that's just kind of like the litmus test for what the system problem may be. Yes. And so the engagement of the youth and maybe having a much stronger mentorship component to whatever youth programs exist may be like one of the alternatives that we may need to take a look at a little bit more strongly. It's so tough, you know. I know there's a lot of things coming at adults, but even at, you know, for youth, and especially in our county where it's so difficult for people to not only find employment but to be able to make a living to live here, you know, and to keep them engaged to be able to do that in the future. I know that's a serious challenge.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Maybe more experiential learning. We've converted our learning styles where I work at Boeing to more experiential learning, and it seems like so that resonates with people. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean apprenticeship type things?
That, or they learn by, rather than telling them how to create something, you know, you give them some guidance, but then they have to try to do it themselves, and then they get coached and mentored to adjust it and realign it. But they actually do, rather than just flipping a bunch of view graphs at people. Do you feel it's recoverable? These dots above these bars look a little concerning.
Yes. And I think in the last couple of months, there have been some pretty good strides in regards to enrollment. The service providers have made a good connection with a lot of the post-secondary, like colleges or in private post-secondary schools, to work with them to help do some outreach, and then also pay for some of the schools, like do some sort of scholarship. So then it would also help us get the credential and the performance outcomes that we need, then it would help the school at the same time. So those partnerships are in place. Last year around the same time, it was pretty slow, but at the end of the year, the majority of the providers did meet their enrollments. So I think it's just making sure that next time around that it's kind of fast tracked through the first part of the year. I think traditionally the first half from like July to December has been very slow. And then once January comes around, there's a large influx of youth that are coming through.
What services are provided to the majority of the youth that are enrolled in the program?
Work experience. Supported services, like bus passes, guest cards.
How are we doing with enrollment in colleges and support there?
I have to check and see where that's at. That is one of our outcomes that they have to get. So, but I have to see him.
Because these are out of school youth.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So majority of them are dropouts.
Yeah. School? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And you get a lot of high school dropouts.
Do they need any like gap filler kind of re-education? Like if you haven't been doing math in a while?
We work with the Orange County Department of Ed. They have a charter school. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of them coming from there. They refer them to us. So there's a pipeline of those that are coming from the charter school to our program. So there's a good connect there. So it's an online charter school for them to try to get their high school diploma. So we'll work with them to make sure they get enrolled there.
And how about the skills training vocational programs? Are you connecting with them? I mean, for placement of youth? Because that's really, the hands-on is really
right,
where to go.
Right, right. Yeah. For like adult education, those like career technical education
right,
programs, yeah,
exactly.
we are connecting with them. But a lot of the youth, we have found a lot of the youth are really interested in kind of doing that, those kinds of things. Like they want to just get paid and they just want to get the money for it. So we have to try to see how we can balance both of those
right,
together.
Well, sometimes you can do both. When you have work experience,
right,
you can earn credit too.
Right. That's
so some of it sounds like level setting expectations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Can you do that?
Yeah, and I just point out on the, you know, the social media pilot, I think we were pleasantly surprised with the outcomes. It notes here that we've had 5 participants enroll, and that was as of maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we had several hundred, you know, that are interested, and I think given, you know, given the magnitude of this effort, that's a pretty nice result in a month.
It is
so,
a nice,
you know,
result.
I think the hope would be that we'll continue
connected.
And again, it's not going to be a one fix, but I think, you know, this and then working with our providers to make sure that they, you know, follow
right,
these leads, and then we, you know, kind of try to evolve. You know,
right. Yeah.
The marketplace is changing. We need
and
to
realign.
Yeah. So the kids from Santa Ana and Anaheim, though, we can't help them under this. That goes underneath the separate dollars.
Currently, we can't. We're looking at ways to refer those to either
to the other areas.
Areas, or if there's opportunities that we can work collaboratively. You know, we've talked a little bit about the regional efforts that we're working on, and actually at the full board meeting in a couple of weeks, John Melville, our consultant, is going to come and talk about some of the initiatives that we're doing, some sector strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's opportunities to capture those. And in addition, when Norman went through this initial pilot, we were targeting all of Orange County. We have the ability to dial in in terms of longitude and latitude, and so we can focus, you know, in South County, you know, sort of areas that we deem to be you know, a challenge.
So are you connecting at all with Anaheim and Santa Ana in terms of what they're using for strategies for recruitment?
On the youth side,
the youth.
Mm-hmm. I've talked about this pilot with them a little bit, but I think they're having similar challenges.
They are too.
Oh, okay.
Then that makes more sense for a regional approach.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's some common themes there.
Yeah. For a long time.
Okay. Are there any further questions or comments for Norma? Thank you. Very good presentation. Okay, item number 3 is an action item. WIOA Young Adult Funding Recommendations.
So, item 3 kind of tags along with item 2. It's the funding recommendations for the Young Adult Services for 18-19. Fiscal year 18-19 is year 3 of the 4-year cycle, like I mentioned earlier. Currently, the providers are City of La Habra, Orange County Asian and Pacific Islander Community Alliance, OCAPICA, and KRA Corporation. For year 3, we're proposing that the City of La Habra receive a greater proportion of out-of-school youth funding compared to in-school youth funding because outcomes have been more successful with out-of-school youth. So you can see the tables below. Each of the regions, the total funding, as well as the target enrollments. And the way that we kind of looked at it this time around is that we tried to make sure that where the service providers are most successful, we put more funding versus different regions. Like, for example, like South Orange County, like the Lagunas, KRA Corporation currently serves there, but they're finding more success in like the cities of San Juan Capistrano, San Clemente, and Dana Point. So we did put more funding in those regions.
Question.
Yeah.
So the small amount of money for the in-school youth, what type of services are they delivering for that amount? Because
the
other ones I would imagine are much more intensive compared to that.
Right. So the way the RFP was written, we only pay for the work experience portion.
Uh-huh.
We don't pay for like facility costs or anything else, so it's only basically work experience.
Just that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Were any changes in agencies?
Not for this time around. This current fiscal year that we're in, we did not have Saddleback College, who we had last fiscal year. KRA Corporation did take over that region that Saddleback College was supposed to do for this fiscal year, but so next year it's just going to be the same three.
Okay. So move to approve the recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Any comments before we vote? Okay. All in favor of approving the funding recommendations for item number three, please say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Item number four, action item. WIOA one-stop system certification.
So, with the new legislation, there's a greater emphasis on quality assurance, quality control. And so a system has been put in place in terms of going out and actually certifying both of or any of the AJCCs. So for us, that would mean we would need to do a complete certification for the Irvine location as well as the Garden Grove location. And what the state is trying to do is basically establish some criteria that can be consistent and universal, so that we'll have some way of measuring and comparing the quality and effectiveness of all of the AJCCs across the state. And so that's kind of what this item is pertaining to. In terms of the actual certification, there's two different types of certification, and both of them will be the responsibility of the Orange County Development Board. The first one is called baseline certification. And the baseline certification was relatively simple to do. It basically stated that we had to have all of our MOUs in place. If you remember back several months ago, for the past year, we've been in the process of negotiating and getting MOUs with all of the required partners. So that's all completed and in place. The other requirement to meet for baseline certification is that we need to have a one-stop operator on board, and we need to have a provider, a service provision operator, a service provider, which we also have. And then the last big piece of what's involved with the baseline certification is making sure that our facilities are ADA compliant. There's a much bigger emphasis, again, with this legislation on accessibility for those with some sort of disability. So we passed all of the required items that we needed, and Bob actually had to sign the certification, and then it was submitted to the state at the end of December. So that piece of it, we're good, it's finished, and we're now moving on to part two. Part two is what they call Hallmarks of Excellence certification. And this basically takes the baseline certification, but then expands upon it. So it goes into much more depth into a variety of different topics and criteria that'll be evaluated. Some of the items that'll be part of the Hallmark certification include looking at the physical layout of the buildings, making sure that they're easy to access, looking at the universal access, the resource rooms, how are they set up, are folks able to utilize the computers and the internet and the Xerox machine and all of the things that are in the resource center. It'll also evaluate the different partnerships that we have in place and the level of partnerships. It'll look at overall the different services that are provided and ensuring that we have an integrated service model both within the centers and with our partners. It'll look at things like, are we in alignment with the stuff that's happening with the regional planning and the strategies involved with the regional planning, and are the services supporting that? And lastly, it'll look at the staff and the qualifications of the staff, and are the staff well cross-trained between agencies? So in addition to that, we'll be, we're in the process now of finalizing a couple of surveys that we'll be distributing. One of the surveys will go out to job seekers. And again, it's basically like a customer satisfaction survey, and we want to get input from the people actually using the centers. The second survey will go out to the employers that we work with. And again, it'll be a similar type of survey, but the questions will be more centered around, are we meeting your needs? You know, are we providing a valuable service to what your business needs? Can we do things differently? Kind of things along those lines. And then the third survey will actually go to the staff working at the One Stop, and we'll kind of gather some additional information on the staff that's there and kind of take all of that back.
Ron, just from the EDD side of the house, we do a quarterly survey. We survey our customers for a 1 week period every quarter. We have teams in each of the AJCCs that come up with the questions. So my, you know, one of the things that we could do is share with you some of the
sure.
more common, more formulated questions that we've come to an agreement on what we want to ask, because we've been on this venture on our side of the house for the last 3 years.
Okay.
And it's kind of been more fine-tuned as we go.
Sure, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
We've kind of done a little bit of that groundwork already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ron, are we calling this, are we off of one-stop centers now? Or are we calling these AGCCs?
Technically, the term that the legislation puts to it is the AJCC. And that's also the California board and EDD and the state also kind of, that's the terminology that we're using. You know, a lot of us who have been doing this for many years are just so used to calling them one stops. It's a hard thing to change. And so we're all trying to get into the habit of referring them to AJCCs.
Because you have here the one-stop operators and then AJCCs.
Yeah,
so it's a clarification.
It's a process. You know, right. if you look at our printed material, you'll notice that there'll be a logo on the bottom that'll say in partnership, and you know, a proud member of the AJCC or something
Good.
Like that. So we're in the process of kind of fine-tuning that. I think there's probably some more signage mm-hmm. that needs to happen
yeah.
at the
yeah.
physical locations that have AJCC. Mm-hmm. So it's a work in progress.
Okay, thank you.
So what we're doing at this juncture is that we would like to set up the certification team. So basically identify some folks who could be kind of a subgroup of individuals who would take the responsibility of gathering this information and then going through the matrix that we have. It's a 27-page checklist, basically, that goes through all of the different components that I previously talked about. And there's questions pertaining to them. So you can go through and actually have an objective way of measuring some of these things. And the team will probably include a couple of staff members. We were thinking maybe one of my counterparts from Santa Ana, so that we have someone from outside the system. And then we can reciprocate with them because they're going to have to do the same thing for their AJCCs. So they'll be looking for people to help them as well. And then we'd also like to have one member of this committee that would also sit on that group. So it shouldn't be too time intensive. A lot of the work our staff is going to do in terms of the logistics of things. But then when we get all of the information back in terms of the surveys, and then maybe actually going out and doing a site visit to each of the centers, and then kind of compiling that information, filling out the checklist, and then making a final determination of whether or not we, you know, we pass, fail, need improvement, that type of thing. So we're looking for one volunteer to help with that task.
And this is to be completed by June 30th?
It needs to be completed by June 30th. So like I said, we've already done a lot of the groundwork with this. The surveys are pretty much done. We'll distribute those via SurveyMonkey, so that'll kind of be all electronic. Mm-hmm. We've also asked the one-stop staff to actually go through and do a self-certification. Yeah. So they're going through the same process that we're going to go through, and they're evaluating themselves. How do they see, how do they compete with each one of these items? And so we'll get that back next week, and we'll take a look at, see how they rated themselves. And then probably in March or April, we'd actually then go out and do an on-site visit to each of the centers, get it all finished. And so I think it's very doable to have that done by the end of June. So the recommendation here is to designate a member of SDNP to serve on the certification team.
I know I can't serve on that.
Right.
Because that's one of the recommendations from the training that we went to. But I can tell you, when I went through the training about last spring, I think, one of the recommendations that the trainer provided was to really try to get somebody outside of the system to be part of this, mm-hmm. because for those of us that touch the system, we're too biased mm-hmm. with what we think the customer needs mm-hmm. versus somebody that is completely outside of the realm, mm-hmm. and to just look at it from a business point of view and provide those recommendations. So
it's a good suggestion.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Objectively.
Yes, mm-hmm. you know, because one of the examples he provided was he brought his sister. This was the trainer, and the sister's from the retail industry. And she said when she was walking through the one-stop resource center, she's like, "Well, why don't you have this signage next to your computer so that the people doing yeah. this, you know, mm-hmm. like things that make sense
so
to
obvious,
her,
right?
you know?" But it wasn't like how we mapped it out, and so that was kind of like a revelation for them. So ideally, it would be nice to have somebody that has none of that bias to be able to provide that input. Mm-hmm. That would be my recommendation.
Is there anyone on the committee that would be interested in serving in that role?
John. Can
we
think about it a while?
Yeah.
Sure. We don't need an answer today, but like I said, we'd like to start at least knowing who we're going to be working with and getting this moving forward.
Well, March is next week. So, it's next Thursday.
So at the full board meeting, we're going to bring a related item forward, saying ideally either someone from this committee or from the mm-hmm. full board as the kind of the board representative.
Yeah.
But then also to delegate to us the authority to go out and assemble the rest of the team.
Yeah.
So if there's no one willing today, we can.
Well, I'm willing to. You could put me down, and then if you want to ask at the board if somebody else is really passionate and wants to do this, I would be willing to defer to them, but if not, you could,
I'll
you could
the
put
motion.
Me down.
So, I heard it.
I mean, March is next Thursday, right? So
no,
you're
no
saying,
what?
Right? No, 2 weeks. Two weeks. 2 weeks from today is March.
And we'd really be looking right? towards the end of
okay.
March, not the beginning.
Okay.
And but this process has, you know, did start many months ago, so we're
okay.
Maybe the first of you, but you all are hearing about it. It's yeah. very much worth it.
Good.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That takes us to our final item, number 5, which is informational, the WIOR performance reports.
Mm-hmm. And so, as you know, this is a new format that we've been refining since our last meeting. And the idea, and I'll turn it over to Ron in just a second, would be that we would kind of run through this front page,
mm-hmm.
and if if there's questions, we can refer to some of the subsequent tables, but not to spend a lot of time drawing on each graph. So with that.
So this, I think, is a really easy way to just kind of on a one pager take a look at all the programs that we have, and it really kind of calls out which programs are doing well, everything's on target, which programs may need a little bit of a tweak or a minor corrective action, and then the ones in red would be those that need more than a little bit of corrective action. So the ones in terms of the green ones, ProPath is doing a really good job with the majority of all of the one-stop programs through the centers. Our formula programs, adult and dislocated worker, are meeting all of our goals. We're on track. Same with business services and our veterans program, which ended in December, the end of December. We have a new veterans grant that we are partnering with Goodwill. Goodwill is the lead agency on this grant because the state, when the solicitation came out, normally we would take the lead, but with the solicitation, the prior one that we applied for, it said that if you were the lead entity currently, you couldn't be the lead entity on this application. So as a result, Goodwill took the lead, and then now we're a subrecipient of Goodwill. We've been having a lot of challenges in getting a contract executed. So unfortunately, we still don't have an executed contract. I know we're now, our county council and Goodwill's county council hashed it out. They went through the whole contract. I think they came to a consensus on most of the items. So we're now just waiting for that final document to do one final review of. So hopefully we'll have that done in the next couple of weeks and then kind of can move forward with this. The senior service program is yellow, and I think it is yellow because basically we're under in terms of getting people employed. So with the senior program, as you may recall, we're working with older folks, putting them in a work experience program. But then the ultimate goal, of course, would be to get them out of that work experience and into a regular paying job. And so we're falling short on that benchmark, so that's the primary reason why we're seeing that as a yellow. And then supervised population is also the other one in yellow. And that is, it's a similar issue with that program as well. Supervised population is working in conjunction with the Orange County Probation Department. And we're working with folks who have just been released from jail, and so they're on some type of probation or some kind of supervised oversight or mandatory supervision. And again, we're having some challenges in actually getting some of those folks employed. It's a tough group, but we have had ProPath, a bunch of years ago, we had a New Start program, which was a similar type program working with ex-offenders. And they did a really good job in connecting them with employers. It's just kind of finding the right employers who are willing to, give those folks an opportunity to, re-engage in society and become, employable again. Let's see. The EPP, VTR, and WEX, those are three programs that are under OCAPICA. So the OCAPICA that Norman was talking about with the youth programs, they're also providing our SSA programs. So in partnership with Social Services Agency, they're making the referrals to us, and then they're going into one of these three different programs. So they're all working with CalWORKs recipients, and by the time that we get them, they've kind of exhausted all of the other avenues that SSA can provide. So this is kind of like the last resort to get them into either training or employment before they may potentially, you know, lose their benefits. So we're a little bit short on the enrollments. And again, because it's referral based, you know, we'll take what we get from SSA. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really have a lot of control over that. And also placements. Again, the same problem that I mentioned with some of the other programs. Especially as the employment rate, the unemployment rate is so low now, mm-hmm. you know, it really is becoming more challenging mm-hmm. when an employer, you know, has the pick of whoever they want. Sometimes it's really hard to find an opportunity for someone who might have more barriers and may not be as an ideal an employee as someone else. So, but our case managers work really closely with SSA's staff, and so overall, I think, you know, we're doing what we can to help try to get as many of these folks into a sustainable employment. And then all the reds are Norman's programs. he already told you about, you know, some of the challenges with youth, so I won't hash over that again. But we just finished a monitoring of all the youth programs, and so we'll be initiating follow-up letters with that we'll ask for a corrective action plan for how they're going to go about kind of, you know, increasing some of those numbers. And currently, a lot of our staff now is over at the one-stop centers doing a monitoring as well. So, someone's whistling. So we do, every year we go out and do a pretty extensive review of the files. We talk with participants, we talk with staff, and then kind of do a fairly complete evaluation of the services that are being provided.
This is a nice document, mm-hmm. Ron.
Yeah, I think it's very good. It's easier than the last one.
It's much easier.
It's clearer.
Yeah.
In terms of the other item on here, of course, is the expenditures. So you have a column budget versus expenses. Mm-hmm. I guess the only two things I would point out, for the most part, we're at 6 months. So for a year program, you know, we would be looking at about 50%. So most everything is on that, with the exception of the youth programs. OC for Vets is low. OC for Vets is our program that we have with healthcare agency mm-hmm. That we run here in the Veteran Service Office. And again, it's a referral-based program. The referrals come from healthcare agency. And we just have not been really seeing a whole lot of people in that program. So I don't know exactly. Some of the times the issue is with their staffing. They don't have enough clinicians who are the ones who actually bring in folks into the program. But being that the numbers are so low, we're not spending a lot of the money that we have set aside for support services. This is not a lot of people that are needing the support services. And then we also have peer mentors that are hired to help kind of navigate. It's kind of a peer-to-peer type program. And again, so we're understaffed with that piece of it too. And the peer mentors and the support services take up a big chunk of that budget. So that's why we're seeing that at only 29%. And then the only other one I'd call attention to would be the English Language Learner program, is at 16%. That program had a late start, And it also is a program that actually doesn't end in June, but it goes through December of 2018.
Okay.
So we have more time on that one. So I think we should be able to get that ramped up before the end of that term. Any other general questions on any of the programs?
I have one that might be perceived to be somewhat naive. What happens to the funding of these programs if we don't expend the money in the year allocated?
It depends on which program. For our formula program, so the bulk of our dollars that we get from EDD and the Department of Labor, they have a two-year life cycle. So when we get the funding, if we don't use it through the end of June, we still have a whole nother fiscal year to be able to use that money. So we always are able to spend all of it. Some of the funding, like the SSA money, the OC for Vets money, and some of these potentially the CSEP program and these other specialized programs, they are funded by fiscal year. And so if the money isn't spent by June 30th, it does go back to the
year it originated. I hate to see it going back.
So it depends on the type.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
So we do make a very urgent attempt to try to make sure that we're spending the funds, and as we get closer towards the end of the year, to try to change our strategy. If it looks like there's still dollars remaining, we need to beef up something or do more training or try to do something that can spend the money so that it doesn't get returned.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you.
Just a couple thoughts from the dashboard, and this may just be the accountant in me, but when you're looking at dashboard, sometimes the cents, you don't really need to know the cents. It just adds a little noise to the dashboard. You could always just round it, just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And on the green, yellow, and red, I think this is great. This is really helpful. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have two different metrics. Obviously, there's the financial metric where you have green, yellow, red in terms of the spending. And then maybe a separate metric that is a performance-based or a deliverable-based.
Okay.
Because otherwise, when I first looked at this, I thought, well, they're 48%, but they're yellow. Why is that? And then it's like, oh, okay, we got to look back here and see that they're short on their deliverables. So
right.
Maybe it's a budget, green, deliverables, red.
That's good.
Okay. Just a thought.
We can look at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments from the committee?
Great job. Oh,
yeah, very good.
Yeah,
very nice. Okay, with that is our last agenda item. Renee or Brian, is there anything you'd like to add? Okay, with that, we'll close the meeting at 1:50. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Good job.
What's that?